This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kibbles and Gifts, your one stop for pet supplies on the coastside.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
As we greet the new year, we note the passing of our oldest living president, Jimmy Carter. There have been many tributes to our 39th president, but we were particularly impressed by the following podcast, courtesy of The World and Everything in It, produced by World Radio. The World and Everything in It is an entertaining and informative production, and we invite you to learn more by visiting WNG.org.
America's 39th president has died. Jimmy Carter was 100. He died at his home in Plains, Georgia. His death coming a little more than 13 months after the death of his wife, Rosalind. World's Lindsay Mast has this remembrance of the former president.
James Earl Carter Jr. was born near the tiny South Georgia town of Plains in October 1924. His father was a businessman, his mother a nurse. The ambitious younger Carter graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1946 and married Rosalind Smith the same year. Carter worked on the Navy's first nuclear-powered submarines, but he retired and moved home to Plains in the 1950s after his father died. Carter served on the local school board and in the state Senate before he was elected Georgia's governor in 1970. His first words as governor dealt with discrimination. They took many of his supporters by surprise and set the stage for his rise to national prominence. Audio here from his gubernatorial inaugural speech.
At the end of a long campaign, I believe I know our people of this state as well as anyone could. Based on this knowledge, I say to you quite frankly that the time for racial discrimination is over.
Carter gained a national reputation for his views on race in the Deep South. Still, he was a long-shot candidate in the 1976 race against then-President Gerald Ford. Carter boldly professed his Christian faith on the campaign trail, but held strict views about the separation of church and state. He helped bring the term born again into the common vernacular when he used the term to refer to himself. Carter spoke of his faith during his inauguration.
And I have just taken the oath of office on the Bible my mother gave me just a few years ago, opened to a timeless admonition from the ancient prophet Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God.
In both domestic and foreign policy, Carter prioritized human rights. He appointed record numbers of minorities to government jobs. He also established the U.S. Departments of Energy and Education. A hallmark of his presidency came in 1978. He brokered a peace treaty between Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin.
One of the agreements that President Sadat and Prime Minister Begin are signing tonight is entitled A Framework for Peace in the Middle East.
More than four decades on, the Camp David Accords still stand. Despite that success, domestic issues like inflation, rising fuel prices, and a recession all took a toll on Carter's political career. Audio here during a period of gas rationing from WPIX.
This is unreal. Isn't this disgusting? Why doesn't anybody contact the president? Why is he letting this happen to us?
His final year in office was largely dominated by the Iranian hostage crisis. After the Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini seized power, Carter allowed Iran's overthrown Shah into the U.S. In November 1979, student militants took more than 50 Americans hostage from the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. Carter greenlit a rescue attempt in which 8 American military members died. His popularity plunged. He ultimately negotiated a release, but it didn't come in time to help him retain the presidency. He lost the 1980 election. Iran freed the hostages the day he left office in 1981.
The new president had not been in office an hour when the former hostages became free men and women again.
The Carters moved home to Plains, Georgia. They sold the family peanut farm and began writing. Carter's body of work includes more than 30 books, including memoirs, fiction, and collections of writing on his faith. Carter's beliefs did not always align with Christian orthodoxy. He did not believe the doctrine of biblical inerrancy and supported female clergy. He renounced his affiliation with the Southern Baptist Convention twice. In his later life, Carter also voiced his increased acceptance of the practice of homosexuality. But he continued to tell people about the gospel. He regularly taught Sunday school at Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains. Audio here from the last class he taught in 2019, shortly after he turned 95.
But I have confidence that there is a God, that he's all-powerful, that he keeps his promises, and he's promised us life after death. And also, I'm a Christian, and I believe in Jesus Christ, having been raised from the dead. And if Jesus Christ was, Jesus told us that we could also be raised from the dead.
In those last years, hundreds of visitors of various religions, or sometimes no religion at all, arrived each week to attend his class and get a picture with Carter, his niece, Kim Carter Fuller.
He's standing up here letting you know how much the love of Christ has impacted the way that he lives. And it made people feel that, okay, if the former leader of the free world can let Christ do that for him, then why I can let him do it for me too.
Carter also spent his post-presidency years on global humanitarian efforts. In 1982, he and Rosalind founded the Carter Center in Atlanta to help resolve conflicts and work for human rights worldwide. The center's work has helped to nearly eradicate guinea worm disease. The Carters also became heavily involved with Habitat for Humanity. In 1999, the Carters received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. In 2002, Carter won the Nobel Peace Prize for his humanitarian and diplomatic work.
War may sometimes be a necessary evil, but no matter how necessary, it is always evil, never a good. We will not learn how to live together in peace by killing each other's children.
Carter survived melanoma and a series of falls before entering hospice care in early 2023. His wife, Rosalind, died last November. Carter is survived by 4 adult children and more than 20 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Reporting for World, I'm Lindsay Mast in Plains, Georgia.
Next up on The World and Everything in It, remembering notable inventors and innovators. Here now is World reporter Mary Muncy.
First up, Bill Post, the inventor of a middle schooler's favorite breakfast.
In the morning, eat him in the evening, Kellogg's, Pop-Tarts.
Post was a baker in the 60s when he got a call from Kellogg. In an interview with Fox, he said the company wanted a pastry for the toaster. So they started work. But trying to get one test product through a 300-foot oven was not easy.
So we had a lot of scrap and debris going through the oven. We sorted them out and let all the debris go to the pig farmer. The pig farmer was the happiest guy in the whole deal.
And maybe Post's kids. They were 9 and 13 at the time, and he brought home test products for them. At first, they were not good. But just a few months later, the first Pop-Tarts hit the shelves in Ohio and sold out almost immediately. Post says he ate Pop-Tarts a few times a week until his death on February 10th at age 96.
The ones with more.
Next, another more infamous scientist, Philip Zimbardo, the architect of the Stanford Prison Experiment.
We wanted to ask the question, what happens if you take people, all of whom are good, normal, healthy, college students, intelligent, and we put them in a bad place.
So, Zimbardo simulated a prison in the basement of Stanford University. He paid college boys to be prison guards and prisoners for 2 weeks. He told the Scavlin TV show about the results.
On the first day, nothing happened.
The prison guards felt awkward in their uniforms.
But then the next morning, the prisoners rebelled.
Suddenly, the students in the prison uniforms weren't classmates. They were dangerous prisoners, and the guards started psychologically demeaning them. Halfway through the experiment, Zimbardo invited colleagues to interview the subjects. The first one who came was a woman he was dating.
She starts crying. I said, "What's the matter with you?" She said, It's terrible what you are doing to those boys. They're not prisoners, they're not guards, they're boys, and you are responsible." And she runs out.
He stopped the experiment shortly after that, about a week early. Other scientists have questioned the ethics of the study, and its implications are still being studied. Zimbardo died on October 14th at age 91. Finally, a man who built a business to help other people build their homes.
Home Depot, Home Depot.
Bernie Marcus told Job Creators Network that he grew up in a fourth-floor tenement in New Jersey.
"We were poor. We had nothing. We had nothing."
On a walk around a different neighborhood, he decided that when he grew up, he wanted to live in a house with a porch.
"And I wasn't envious. I just said, how do they do it?"
So he went to school and worked various jobs until he was eventually put in charge of a home improvement chain, where he met his future business partner. The two were fired from the chain at the same time in 1978 and started planning. A year later, they opened the doors of Arrival.
Prices are just the beginning.
The company is now one of the world's largest home improvement retailers, doing business in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Marcus died on November 4th. He was 95 years old. Reporting for World, I'm Mary Muncy.
A tribute to President Jimmy Carter, who recently died at the age of 100. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson. As the year 2024 comes to an end and all of us have our personal memories of events, some good and some not so good. For those of us that work to produce the programs and shows of community radio for the Coastside, the year has been a good one, thanks to all those who listen to and support KHNB Radio. We love our listeners, and it's nice to know that there is an ever-growing number of Coastsiders that love the work we do. On behalf of all of us, have a happy and blessed new year. But before we go forward, we have to take a step back to the year 2007, courtesy of the KHNB Time Machine, with host Cameron Palmer. It's coming right up on your hometown community station, AM and FM, KHNB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHNB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
Are you a caregiver? Do you have a family member that requires your daily attention and assistance? Would you like time to refresh yourself, tend to errands and other daily tasks while knowing that your loved one is well cared for? Coastside Adult Day Health Center's goal is to help restore and maintain physical and mental health and to enhance the quality of life for seniors while providing socialization and cognitive stimulation. Coastside Adult Day Health Center provides compassionate care for the frail and elderly and respite for their families. To learn more about their person-centered care and structured day health care program, visit CoastsideAdultDayHealth.org or call them at 726-5067 and schedule a visit.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
2007,
17 years ago, and a different world. These are the stories making the news. Checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review. Half Moon Bay welcomes first-time mayor Naomi Packridge takes up the gavel on January 16th. She will be the first person to have been our mayor of Half Moon Bay five times. Her story is uniquely rooted in the history of the civic life of the coastside, where she has served in local government for 32 years. Comcast plans to expand on coastside services. Comcast has announced that it will put additional $80 million into the upgrading its fiber optic network on the coastside and seven other Bay Area communities. With the improvements, Comcast will offer a combination of high-speed internet, digital calling, digital cable to Half Moon Bay homes. A blustery close to 2006. Fierce winds caused blackouts, car damage, and a mudslide. The coastside took a beating last week as potent gusts roared, snapping power lines, felling trees, and even triggering a rock slide north of Monterra. And now for a little history in the making from my restaurant, Cameron's Pub. Wonder how many of you handled the tsunami in the best way possible. Nice to be informed, of course. My regulars decided to stay put and carry on with their daily tasks. Heard there was a motorcycle escort for a serious ambulance trip over the hill over 92 amongst a big traffic jam. Sometimes the trips to get out of harm's way can be more dangerous than the possible threat. Strange weather patterns and the latest being a serious tornado through Scotts Valley. My nephew and his family were just a half a mile away from the tornado touchdown, which flipped five cars. Winds at 90 miles an hour. They experienced hail, but no idea what was about to happen. Fortunately, no serious injuries. So stay calm and hunker down. 2007 is a year of disasters here at home and around the world. Violent thunderstorms roar through parts of Alabama, three over the states in region. Blizzards and severe storms sweep through Denver and the surrounding area. One of the deadliest tornadoes in Kansas history destroys the town of Greensburg as it takes the brunt of 200-mile-per-hour winds. Meanwhile, out west, one of the largest and deadliest fires in U.S. history rages in Southern California, fanned by those Santa Ana winds, destroying 400,000 acres and 2,000 homes. Man-made tragedy occurs when the student Virginia Tech campus goes on a killing spree, leaving over 30 students dead. As if under a divine judgment, more bad news when the bridge over the Mississippi River on I-35 collapsed, with cars dropping 50 feet into the river. 13 people die, and then in Utah, six miners are trapped and lost and collapsed in a mine, and three rescue workers are also lost trying to save them. 2007 is the year Apple introduces the iPhone. Popular films include Transformers, Spider-Man 3, and Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. Popular TV shows are CSI, Without a Trace, Grey's Anatomy, and NCIS. From the 2007 music scene, this is a male singer, and he started out performing standards, but graduated to successfully contemporary ballad career. Here's Michael Bublé and Lost.
Can't believe it's over. I'll watch the whole thing fall. And I never saw the writing that was on the wall. If I'd only knew the days were slipping past, that the good things never last, that you were crying. Summer turned to winter, and the snow it turned to rain. And the rain turned into tears upon your face. I hardly recognize the girl you are today. God, I hope it's not too late. It's not too late. 'Cause you are not alone. I'm always there with you. And we'll get lost together. Till the light comes pouring through. 'Cause when you feel like you're done and the darkness has won, babe, you're not lost. And when your world's crashing down and you can't bear the thought, I said, babe, you're not lost. Life can show no mercy, it can tear your soul apart. It can make you feel like you're gone crazy, but you're not. But things have seemed to change, there's one thing that's still the same. In my heart you have remained, and we can fly.
This country artist has been called the King of Country, having sold more than 70 million albums, including countless platinum and gold recordings. Here's George Strait, and How About Them Cowgirls?
I felt the rush of the Rio Grande into Yellowstone, and I've seen firsthand Niagara Falls and the lights of Vegas. Crisscross down to keep his game, and Chi-Town be a banger main. Think I've seen it all, and all I can say is, how about them cowgirls? Boys, ain't they something? Sure are some proud. Tell you right now, girls, may just be seven wonders of this big old round world. But how about them cowgirls? She's riding colts in Steamboat Springs, bailing hay outside Abilene. She's trying hard to fit in some city, but her home is neat that big blue sky and the northern plains and those other wide open spaces. Nowadays there ain't as many, but how about them cats? Something sure are some proud girls, and you can't tell them nothing. I tell you right now, girls, may just be seven wonders of this big old round world. But how about them cowgirls? And she don't need me, she can do just fine on her own two feet. But she wants a man who wants her to be herself, and she'll never change, don't know how to hide.
stubborn will or a fighting side. But you treat her right and she'll love you like no one else. Yeah, how about them cowgirls? Boys, ain't they something? Sure are some proud girls. But you can't be the loving, and I tell you right now, girls, they just be seven wonders of this big old round world. But how about them cowgirls? How about them boys?
What year will the time machine stop at next week? I'm ready for the ride if you are. This is Cameron Palmer. Thanks for listening.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
Listen up, Coastsiders. This is Ruben Truthmaker of Coastal Windage, KHMB's live Friday morning talk show, here to tell you that the legendary Harlem Wizards are returning to Half Moon Bay on Sunday, January 12th, for another hilarious and amazing basketball spectacle. This is a fun and entertaining experience for kids of all ages, and it's also a fundraising event for the Boys and Girls Club of the Coastside. Money raised will support Cunha Sports, as well as the PTOs of Hatch, El Granada, Kings Mountain, and Farallon View Elementary Schools. Come see the Wizards as they work their hard court magic on a team of local celebrities and educators. And yes, you're right, Virginia, Wizards tickets do make a great holiday gift. The Harlem Wizards, Sunday, January 12th at 4 p.m. in the Lion's Den on Kelly Avenue in downtown Half Moon Bay. A family fun event you won't want to miss. Get your tickets at bgccoastside.org.
If I could talk to the animals.
It's time for Pet Patrol. Everything that pertains to our pets and animals. Pet Patrol is brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the Coastside. Visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com. And now, your host for Pet Patrol, Krista Livingston.
I'd like to share an interesting article about deer by Susan B. Kelly with the Peninsula Humane Society. Most people associate deer with the forests or other rural or semi-rural areas. In San Mateo County, people expect to see deer in the watershed area, on skyline, or on the open spaces along the coast. But in fact, deer can be seen throughout our county. Take a drive down 280 in the early morning or evening, and you're guaranteed to see deer grazing up on the hillsides, if not along the freeway itself. Very observant people notice that which deer they see depends on when they're looking. In the winter, herds of deer made of does, fawns, and bucks usually forage together. Come spring and summer, when the females have had their young, you primarily see only the bucks grazing in the open. If you are fortunate enough to live in an area that has mature landscaping, you may also see does with their fawns in your yard. Each year, the Wildlife Care Center receives dozens of calls from people who think they have an abandoned fawn in their yard or have seen one on the side of a road. Our advice, barring any obvious signs of illness or injuries, is to leave the animal alone. It's not uncommon for a doe to leave her fawn for 12 hours, jump in the yard, nurse the fawn, and leave once again. If a well-intentioned individual brings an abandoned fawn to the Humane Society, we generally return the baby to their original location. 9 times out of 10, we find the doe there looking for her youngster. Occasionally, however, we do receive a true orphan. These we send to a specially trained volunteer who raises them. When the fawn becomes self-sufficient at 5 months of age, we release them. Deer can become very imprinted on people, and our caregiver must take special precautions not to let the animal become attached to her. While fawns are undeniably cute, they are wild animals. They appear very gentle, yet are quite strong, and have been known to injure people who try to restrain them. Adult deer are able to outrun a predator like a mountain lion or a coyote, or in the urban or suburban setting, a domestic dog. Most deer herds in residential areas are accustomed to our daily movements. They know which yards have dogs and which have the best ornamental shrubbery and fruit trees. They quickly learn who is leaving out food for them, a practice the Wildlife Care Center strongly discourages. Leaving food out for wildlife can draw too many animals to one area, making them dependent on the food source and a potential nuisance to neighbors. In areas where deer are numerous, including the hills from Redwood City to San Bruno and the entire south end of the county, drivers should stay alert day and night for deer crossing the road. For the most part, deer seem to know when traffic is most active and are pretty wary when out on the street. But come August, the bucks throw caution to the wind. This is when the rutting season begins and the male deer have other things on their mind. Once they get the scent of a female, they simply follow their noses, often charging onto our highways and byways. Consequently, more deer are hit by cars during this short two-month period than the entire rest of the year. The number of dead deer the Humane Society picks up off the road reaches its peak. Once the season ends, the deer settle back into their herds and continue the daily business of survival. Some people delight in the presence of their local deer. Others consider them nothing but a destructive nuisance. The bottom line is we have moved into their territory. The animals have learned to coexist with us, and now we must learn to coexist with them. We have manipulated the environment in such a way that the area can support far more deer than it did when covered with only native plant life. So what can we do? First, accept the fact that deer and other wildlife are here to stay. Learn about their behaviors so you have a better understanding of what you can do to discourage them from coming around. If deer live in your neighborhood, be cautious when driving or riding a bike, for your own safety as well as for theirs. Landscape with plants that don't attract deer. Try different deterrents and fencing to keep them away. One of the most promising devices is a motion detector sprinkler that senses movement and sends out a stream of water that frightens the animal away. There are several helpful publications available, too. Gardener's Guide to Preventing Deer Damage, available from California Department of Fish and Game, and Wild Neighbors, the Humane Approach to Living with Wildlife by the Humane Society of the United States. This is available through bookstores. Each year, PHS receives calls from people who want us to remove the deer from their neighborhood along with raccoons, skunks, and opossums and take them back to the watershed where they belong. Well, this just isn't possible. First, the law forbids relocating healthy wildlife. Second, it just doesn't help. These animals are not from the watershed. They were born and raised in our neighborhoods. Moving or trapping an animal out of an area only opens up a space for a new one to move in. Animals move in and stay in an area because it offers food, water, and/or shelter. Our best advice? Removing what is attracting the animals, and in time their numbers will decrease. Until next week, this is Krista Livingston with Kibbles and Gifts and Kibbles Pet Care.
If I could talk to the animals.
Pet Patrol is a regular feature of KHNB Radio. If you have an animal-related announcement, just call us at 453-4000 or email us pets@khmbradio.com. Pet Patrol has been brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coast side. Phone them at 726-3700 or visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the coast side.
Half Moon Bay has a rich history. In its early years, it was a settlement known as Spanish Town, having gotten its name because it was part of early California Spanish land grants. The culinary spirit of Spanish Town lives on in the form of Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant. Known for its simple yet delicious food made with fresh ingredients, Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant provides a warm and inviting atmosphere. Perfect for enjoying classic dishes like burritos, enchiladas, fajitas, tamales, and more. Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant is located at 515 Church Street across from Cunha Elementary School. Treat your taste buds to an olé experience at Spanish Town Mexican Restaurant.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry. 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Canty, D.C., your host for Keeping Pace with Your Health. Lately, there's been a great deal of talk about intermittent fasting, otherwise known as time-restricted eating, and how this technique helps to lose weight. But does it really work? The weight loss idea is quite appealing. Limit your eating to a period of 6 to 8 hours each day, during which you can have basically whatever you want. Studies in mice seem to support so-called time-restricted eating, a form of the popular intermittent fasting diet. Small studies of people with obesity suggest that it might help shed pounds. But now, a rigorous one-year study in which people followed a low-calorie diet between the hours of 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. or consumed the same number of calories any time during the day has failed to find an effect. The bottom line, said Dr. Ethan Weiss, a diet researcher at the University of California, San Francisco, is there is no benefit to eating in a narrow time window. The study published on Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine was led by researchers at Southern Medical University in Guangzhou, China, and included 139 people with obesity. Women ate 1,200 to 1,500 calories a day, and men consumed 1,500 to 1,800 calories daily. To ensure compliance, participants were required to photograph every bit of food they ate and to keep food diaries. Both groups lost weight, an average of about 14 to 18 pounds. But there was no significant difference in the amounts of weight lost with either diet strategy. There also was no significant differences in the groups in measures of waist circumference, body fat, and lean body mass. The new study is not the first to test time-restricted eating, but previous studies often were smaller, of shorter duration, and without control groups. That research tended to conclude that people lost weight by eating only during the limited period of time during the day. Dr. Weiss himself used to be a true believer in time-restricted eating and said that for 7 years he had eaten only between noon and 8 p.m. In previous research, he and his colleagues asked some of the 116 adult participants to eat three meals a day with snacks if they got hungry, and others were instructed to eat whatever they wanted between noon and 8 p.m. Participants lost small amounts of weight, an average of 2 pounds in the time-restricted eating group and 1.5 pounds in the control group, a difference which was not statistically significant. In an interview, Dr. Weiss recalled he could hardly believe the results. He asked the statisticians to analyze the data 4 times until they told him further work wouldn't change the result. "I was a devotee," he said. "This is hard for me to accept." More on this after this message.
This is Dr. Brian Shepherd. Do you snore or have trouble sleeping? If so, you may have obstructive sleep apnea. If untreated, obstructive sleep apnea can lead to stroke, heart problems, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Shepherd Family Dentistry can arrange a home sleep study connected with a specialized MD for diagnosis and customize a discrete appliance to alleviate symptoms and provide restful sleep. We can bill medical insurance and Medicare. If you would like to learn more, call us at 726-3355 or visit us at shepherddentist.com. You can get a good night's sleep, and I would like to show you how.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Hello, I'm Dr. Barry Canty, and today we're talking about intermittent fasting, also known as time-restricted eating. Dr. Christopher Gardner, Director of Nutrition Studies at the Stanford Prevention Research Center, said he wouldn't be surprised if time-restricted eating nonetheless still worked on occasion. Almost every type of diet out there works for some people, he said. But the take-home supported by this new research is that when subjected to a properly designed and conducted study, scientific investigation, it is not any more helpful than simply reducing daily calorie intake for weight loss and other health factors. Dr. Louis Arnone, director of the Comprehensive Weight Control Center at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York, said that in his experience, some people who have trouble with calorie counting diets do better if they are told simply to eat only during limited periods of time during the day. The hypothesis behind time-restricted eating is that circadian genes that are thought to increase metabolism are turned on during daylight hours, said Dr. Caroline Appavine, co-director of the Center for Weight Management and Wellness at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. The question for researchers, she added, if you overeat a bit during daylight hours, are you more able to burn those calories rather than store them? Dr. Abavine said she would like to see a study that compared a group of subjects who overate all day to a time-restricted eating group of subjects who also overate. She said she would still recommend time-restricted eating to patients, even though we don't have proof. For Dr. Weiss, he said he is persuaded by his own study and said the new data reinforces conviction that time-restricted eating offers no benefit. Until next time, this is Dr. Barry Canty for Keeping Pace with Your Health.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
All the girls say-
Coastside Carousel, the show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's, good food and good times for the entire family.
Listener-supported community radio for the Coastside is KHMB. And welcome to Coastside Carousel. If you're new to the show or a new listener to KHMB, this is the show that's by and for local artists along the Coastside and the big national bands who visit here to play live. I'm Mike Dale. Support for Coastside Carousel comes from Cameron's Pub and Restaurant. It's the home of great food and great times. From pizzas and salads to shepherd's pie, the food is fantastic and there's plenty of fun all week long. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday, open mic night on Thursday, and then karaoke on Friday and Saturday nights. Cameron's Pub and Restaurant, the only true British pub on the coast. My guest this week is Jerry Logan, founder of the La Honda band Three on a Tree. He's so much fun. He's playing at the San Gregorio General Store on Friday, January 10th. It's a happy hour show from 5 to 7 p.m. Jerry joined me in July of last year to promote his show at the Oddfellows Hall in Half Moon Bay. And we had a wonderful conversation about life and music and life itself. So we're talking now old country, swing, rockabilly. We're going to play three of your originals today. And let's first start with the band name. What right. is automotive yeah. speaking, Three on the Tree? Explain it for yeah. the younger generation.
Yeah. Well, automotively, in the old days, we used to have to shift gears in the cars by hand. You know, it had the clutch and the gear shift. Well, Three on the Tree was a three-speed where the shifter was on the column. So the column, the steering column, we called it the tree.
As opposed to four on the floor, which I had a 65 Mustang when I was a teenager, yeah. and that was four on the floor. Oh, so yeah. three on the tree, really my dad was telling me, and he was born in 1929, that those came out. Ford had a first one out in 1949, and then he had a 51 Merc with three on the tree. So are you saying that you rebuild cars?
In high school, we all had old cars. Well, at the time, 68, 69, around there, if you had a car that was made in the 50s, then it wasn't that old, but nobody wanted them, and we could pick them up for $40 for a whole car. So we worked on cars and kept them going.
Let's play some tracks now, because we got three, maybe four, we can squeeze in on a 20-minute show. I want to start off with Cowboy's Mona Lisa. Is that your original?
That's one of mine, yeah.
What's the inspiration?
Well, I was at a bluegrass festival back in about 2003, I think, and I had just gotten a new truck, a brand new truck. My first brand new truck was a Chevy Silverado 03, and it was kind of green metal flake-ish. It was really a nice-looking truck. And so I was at this bluegrass festival, and I met this gal. She, at one point, we were talking. She was leaning up against my truck, and she had on diamond earrings and red toenail polish.
You are getting granular with us now, Jerry.
Well, no,
I love it.
That's what she was wearing. She was leaning up against my truck, and She's from Texas, and she says, "Your truck's pretty, but it sure is dirty." and I thought, this picture here, that's a cowboy's Mona Lisa, just beautiful picture like that. And the song came from there.
All right. Jerry Logan is with us. It's Coastside Carousel. This is an original, Cowboy's Mona Lisa, with the band Three on the Tree on KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Against my truck, a one hot summer day. Truck is pretty, but it sure is dirty, is what you had to say. I
Cowboy's Mona Lisa right before my eyes. You were a cowboy's Mona Lisa, heavy all in a row. Diamond earrings, 30 trucks, and red polish on your toes. Tug Da Vinci there at the county fair, your arm would be in that pose. Diamond earrings, 30 trucks, red polish on your toes. All that I'd been looking for was right before my eyes. Thought that I had seen it all, boy, was I surprised. I had met you in my dreams, never thought I'd see. Right in front of me. You're a cowboy's Mona Lisa, heaven only knows. Diamond earrings, 30 trucks, red polish on your toes. Da Vinci there at the county fair, you're all work in that pose.
Community Radio for the Coast Side is KHMB, and this is Coast Side Carousel, the show by and for local artists and the venues at which they play. There's Three on the Tree with Cowboys Mona Lisa, and my guest today is Jerry Logan, lead guitar, vocals for the band, and really, you're the progenitor, you're the beginning of the band. You brought them all together for the most part, right?
Yeah, I think that's what I do, is just get people together, you know, and this is working out just great with this crew.
All right, let's play another track because you write some great stuff, and I just love the whole way the band comes together. That lap steel just makes it sound so great. This is more of a ballad. This is called Where's a Grown Man Go? So is that a heartbreak song, Jerry?
Well, it's born out of a heartbreak. Yes, it is. It was mine.
You're laughing now. Can you talk about it? Because when you're going through it, it's not so funny.
No, it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny. It was a bad breakup. Pretty much lost a whole family. They just decided that I was not the one, so got fired, and it broke me up, and I'd wind up just busting into tears every once in a while, and I was sitting in an almond orchard, and I thought, you know, where am I supposed to go, sitting there in the almond orchard, and this song was born out of that. It's a good song. I like it a lot.
Here it is, Coastsiders. This is Where's a Grown Man Go? Sitting in an almond orchard, Jerry Logan at Three on the Tree, KHMB's Coastside Carousel.
Where's a I've got no place to go. When my teardrops start to flow, she took my heart away. I live without it every day. I thought our love was growing strong. Too late I find our love was gone. Where does a grown man go to cry? Won't somebody tell me why? Seems I've got no place to go. When my teardrops start to flow,
Community Radio for the Coastside at 100.9 FM and the amazing AM 1710. This is Coastside Carousel, the show by and for local artists. Jerry Logan is with me today. We're having a few laughs, talking about his life in music, the heartbreaks and the triumphs as well, right, Jerry?
That's right. You know, if don't get your heart broken, then I wouldn't have, like, I don't know, three CDs worth of songs.
Exactly. But you know what? We're all humans, we're all social animals, and we resonate with that kind of stuff because it helps us learn and grow and change.
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you know, the good and the bad, it's all there, but it's, fortunately, I can get it out in a song and pass it off to the universe.
You have the perfect country voice. You could be in Nashville. Did you ever think about having a Nashville dream?
No, I was there playing bass in a bluegrass band for a while. But as a guy I know put it, he said, we never had big dreams of going to Nashville, and it's working out okay.
You're fine with La Honda playing on the Coastside?
Well,
San Gregorio.
Yeah, we have our little area where, you know, we have a good fan base. People keep coming back to see us and hear us and having a good time. And we like that. So not looking really to spread out much, but play where we're appreciated.
I want to plug your website now, too, because when you hear the name Three on the Tree, that's a very popular name. So your website really is threeonthetreelahonda.com. What'll they find on that website?
Well, for one thing, they'll find a calendar. Our drummer, Freddie Dubert, keeps the calendar going, keeps the website up. And you can always find out where Three on the Tree is playing.
All right, let's play another track. I have a feeling this is going to be sad, too.
Uh-oh.
Tears of a Fool? Tell me about
one. Let's see. Same gal, different time.
Oh, my God! You're kidding me.
No.
Why do we always go back to the same well?
I don't know.
Is that all you want to say about it?
I'll get back to you. No, no, the song. No, it was, I call them my Chico days. I was living up in Chico. The two of us would be seen around town together. You know, it was kind of a small town, small community. You know, people knew us and they see me walking around by myself and they say, hey, how's, old so-and-so? I said, oh yeah, she's fine. You know,
but you weren't fine.
Oh no, you know, it was like, nope. I'm not going to tell you how it really is.
It kind of reminds me of, you know, I'm a big Beatles fan. I'm a rock guy. And, you know, John Lennon wrote some sad songs as well, you know. So, you know, you got to keep it inside, but then you let it out. And now it's a song. Yeah. So it kind of dissipates that energy, right?
Oh, it does. Absolutely does. You know, it's music and writing. It's very healing.
All right. Here it is. Jerry Logan, Three on the Tree, Tears of a Fool on KHMB. I'm even rhyming today.
Cry, cry, cry. Tears of a fool. Since you've been gone, that's all I can do. Cry, cry, cry. Fate has turned so cruel. Well, I wish that I could change the things that caused me to lose you. People ask me how you're doing. I smile and say just fine. I don't say you've gone away. You won't leave my mind. It's all the things that I can't say, all bottled up inside, that make the tears roll down my face and I have to turn and hide. Cry, 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 tears of a fool. Since you've been gone, that's all I can do. Cry, 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 fate has turned so cruel. Well, I wish that I could change the things that caused me to lose you. Over this old town, a hollow, lonely soul. I'm longing for the days gone by when your love made me whole. I hope you find it in your heart. Forgive me of my sins. Take me back, start anew, and let love live again. Cry, cry, cry. Since you've been gone, that's all I can be. Cry, cry, cry. Fate has turned so cruel. Well, I wish that I could change the things that caused me to cry, cry, cry.
Community Radio for the Coast Side is KHMB at 100.9 FM. And the amazing AM 1710. There is Three on the Tree. It's Coastside Carousel on KHMB. I'm Mike Dell, and you're listening to a special rebroadcast and best of with Jerry Logan of Three on the Tree. He'll be appearing at the San Gregorio General Store on Friday, January 10th, 5 to 7 p.m. Go down south and listen to a good time with Jerry. Thank you so much for coming down today. Great to meet you, and I want to have you back again.
Yeah, that would be good. Well, I appreciate it, Mike. Thank you so much.
And that'll do it for this edition of Coastside Carousel. Remember to support your local artists and the venues at which they play. Until next time, be well.
You've been listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artists of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453 453-
4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Crime is one of America's most serious problems today. Its effects reach not only the direct victims of its violence, but even those who have not been attacked. The concern for crime has not been limited to this century, however. Our founding fathers were also concerned about it. Yet the effects of crime unquestionably were much less in their generation. So what was their deterrent to crime? Signer of the Constitution, James McHenry, answered that question. He explained, "The Holy Scriptures can alone secure to society order and peace. In vain, without the Bible, we increase penal laws and draw protections around our institutions. Bibles are strong defenses. Where they abound, men cannot pursue wicked courses." Founding Father James McHenry believed that widely teaching the Bible was the best means to deter crime.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.